Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined by Chris this afternoon, who is here to speak with us about an upcoming event with Sherry in Seattle. Welcome, Chris.
Thanks. Hello, Jen.
Michael. Hey, how's it going?
Great. Thank you.
Good. I hope you're not having the same incredibly hot weather that we are. I like to think of places like Seattle on a day like today. I do a little guided imagery of what that might be like to have some cool rain. And
oh, no, it's delightfully warm and kind of hot, and I'll take it.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So we thought it would be fun to feature, Sherry's going to be in Seattle in your fair city, I think, in just over a week, right? A week from Sunday on July 20th.
Yes.
And so you very generously volunteered to talk with us tonight about the what it's like to be able to have a one-day workshop with the guide in your very own city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't take too long to come up with everything I like about it. And what it really comes down to is it's, for me anyway, it's like being in the meditation hall at the monastery and facing front, and Sherry's there, and then there's a topic, and there's questions and responses to questions and visualizations and small groups and all the things attendant to a regular retreat. And, you know, and if I don't get to the monastery this year, which I don't think I will, at least I get 6 hours of it right here.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because as you I just said a minute ago a little guided imagery about having the rain. But as you said, laid that out, Chris, there we are in the meditation hall, sitting facing the wall, and then having Sherry say, will you please turn and face this way, and being in a workshop, I went to the experience as you were saying that and could really see how to have that, that the power of that experience come to your own location is really a great gift, isn't it?
It is. It is. I mean, all the different practice opportunities that are offered by Living Compassion are great, and they're helpful, and they're fabulous.
Yep.
And this is just, and this is well, it's more than another one for me, but it is another one. But it's a really great, effective, etc. one.
Yeah. Agreed. That we're so lucky these days to have, you know, daily peace quotes and tweets coming out, and now we've got the stop, drop, and text opportunity, and so those are all literally all day long. You can be having the support of practice, transform your life, the app on the phone for that, and then a number of, you know, reflective listening buddies, getting an awareness coach. I mean, there's just so many ways to stay plugged into practice really all the time, and it really isn't a substitute for being together in person with Sangha, is it?
No, it's not. Yeah, there's something about the in person with a, at, you know, and seeing some familiar faces and, there's something about coming together in that way that makes an opportunity like this something different.
And yeah. Can I pause for 1 second, Chris, and ask, you're a tiny bit faint for me. Is it hard for you to hear me?
A little. I mean, I can hear you okay.
Okay, I'm on my not as good phone. My other phone, it's completely crackly, so I we'll go with what we've got. It must be all that rain we're having.
I'm not getting any crackly or anything. Just slightly
just
faint, but I can hear
faint.
You. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
And I can hear you fine. I can hear you both fine.
Oh, thank you, Michael. I appreciate
sure.
that. Okay. Great. Good. So yes, precisely that. There's something about being together in person with Sangha that that really creates a unique practice opportunity.
Yeah, yes, and like I said, for me, it's really just brings up the monastery experience, and I just now flashed on the last time I was there, and you know, and just talking to you outside in the garden or something, it brings up all that great stuff.
Uh-huh, yeah. And it is like, I love the way you said it a little while ago, 6 hours of basically being on retreat.
Yes.
You know, getting to have the experience. Because, you know, for me, we're actually on retreat right now. So I'm getting to have the experience that even as, you know, as monks, we get to live at the monastery. We get to live in the privileged environment. Our life is, you know, everything is practice. And still, I really notice that being on retreat, even for us, is a really unique practice opportunity, because there's something about everyone setting everything aside, you know, setting aside whatever, you know, our daily stuff or whatever we got going on, and stepping into that place of all of the attention is on a very focused, as you said, you know, usually we're looking at a particular topic, but as we always joke, I mean, the topic is really irrelevant. It's just the sort of content we're using to look at the process of how we end suffering. And so coming together in person, for me, always creates, it creates a really powerful, tangible, I guess it is, experience of that.
Yeah, I can see that. It's, I'm not sure if I could add anything to that,
mm-hmm.
but yes, it's just, putting everything on hold and just being able to, it's great when I can put my life out here on hold enough to get down to the monastery for a week.
Right.
Right now that's not going to happen. So,
exactly.
You know,
a
Sunday afternoon works really well. And I'm,
yeah.
And like you said, the topic is whatever the topic is. When I look on the calendar, I don't even look at the topic. It's, oh, Sherry's in Seattle. Let's sign up. It could be how to clean toilets the monastery way. I mean, when it comes right down to it.
That's so true. The topic is completely irrelevant. I'm right with you. Yeah. And, you know, I actually haven't had the experience, so I can only project. But I just picture, there I am in my house. So I'm in my home environment. And mm-hmm. then I get in my car, and I leave to go to a workshop with Sherry. And I have that experience all day long. So I'm really, as you say, I'm kind of in a mini monastery for the mm-hmm. entire day, getting to have that experience of all the benefits of being on retreat and with Sangha and huge insights and, as we said, setting my life aside. And then I get in my car and go back home. And I don't know, I just project there's probably something about that really maybe breaks down some of the barriers, I would guess, between, well, practice is this thing when I fly down to California, and my life is something else up here in Seattle.
Yeah. I can see that being just like that. There hasn't been a ton of workshops, you know, all day workshops up here. I remember there was one not too long ago, and it does help. It is a good reminder in that way that yes, practice is here also, not just in that certain special place.
Exactly. Exactly. And that, you know, in the same way that the topic could be anything, the venue could be anything. I mean, it really shows how practice is not it's not a certain physical location. It's not a particular content. It's a process. It's everything. And we can bring it wherever we go. You know, when we go to Zambia, it's practice. When we're in North Carolina, it's practice. A day with Sherry in Seattle, it's practice. I mean, back in our very own homes, doing the dishes, it's practice.
I wonder what it would be to, I wonder what makes it, to me, feel like being at the monastery.
Yeah.
If it, like you say, and I'm guessing, I mean, if I had to guess now, it would be, you know, well, Sherry's there and a bunch of other people are there all doing the same thing. And those would probably be the specific things that make it like being at the monastery, whereas, like you just said, it doesn't have to be there and it doesn't have to be a particular topic.
Yeah. That's interesting. So it feels like maybe there's something about seeing Sherry there, as you say, seeing maybe some other familiar faces from Sangha and realizing, oh, right, you know, those are the associations. These are the folks that I'm doing this work of transformation with.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just really encouraging folks. You know, one of the things that, forget where I was, I think I was in New York City doing a workshop a while back. And people talking about in that experience how they were so glad that they didn't get talked out of it. Because, you know, I mean, yes, Sherry's coming to Seattle, and yet the voices are really powerful. So, you know, I've got so much to do on the weekend. I got to catch up on such and such and this and that and the other thing, and how easy it would be to get talked out of it. But some of these folks in New York were talking about how glad that they were, even some people who had come from, you know, way other parts of the state, to make the drive, because really, at base, what could be more important than prioritizing the process of practice? Because that's the process that brings us everything else in our lives that we want. So, you know, the idea is, oh, yeah, but, you know, how good it would feel if I could spend the Sunday cleaning out my garage. Then I would really feel the way I want to feel. Well, you know, maybe, maybe not, but then there's just going to be the next thing, right, the office or the whatever. But if we prioritize the process of, well, how would I feel when I have the garage cleaned out? Now let me go spend a day practicing feeling that no matter what, whether the garage is cleaned out or not, then that seems like a great way to spend our time.
Yes, yes, we're both very fortunate, and my wife and I, that our schedule actually was, as it turns out, very wide open for this day, so there was actually not a lot of pull to go do anything else.
Yeah, it was really, life lined it up for you.
Yes.
Yeah. Excellent. Good. Well, Chris, I really appreciate you being with us this afternoon.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Anything else you want to add before we turn it over to Sherry and Michael?
I don't think so. I'm just happy to be here and glad I was able to make the call.
Yeah, great. And have a great time on the 20th.
Thanks.
Okay, take good care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Chris. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Really, really well. How about you?
Wonderful. I'm so excited to have this call and to be called to be present and participate. It's a, as you know, huge gift in my life.
Yes, and it's kind of like the mini visits to the monastery, isn't it?
Yes.
So if a one-day workshop where we all gather together in one place and practice together is like a little visit, then this is like a little visit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I just saw, as you said that all of the practice opportunities that are offered are versions of that, are versions of calling us to be present, whether it's on an RLB call for half an hour or to respond to a text or to send a text or, you know, all of them. It's calling us to be present, which, as you know, is a huge gift.
Oh, it is. It is. As Jen said, it's what gives us everything else in our lives that we want.
Yeah.
Right? Because when we are present there, we now have everything that we want, and we can actually enjoy all of the things that we have.
Yeah.
So it's just the best of all possible deals. And that comment that Jen made, you know, you spend the day, in essence, learning how to feel or remembering that you know how to feel the way you want to feel, regardless of life's content.
Yeah.
Wow. Doesn't that set us up for accomplishing anything that we want in life and enjoying it? Because if we don't know how to feel the way we want to feel, then it doesn't actually matter what we accomplish, because the odds are really good we're going to feel the way egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate has us feeling.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, exactly. And as you've pointed out, what we're going for is a feeling.
Yes, yes, having our attention where we want to put our attention so that we're having the life experience that we choose.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's the whole deal, as far as I can tell.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, that's my experience too.
Yeah, yeah, and it's not, of course, it's not just our practice, right? It's what the Buddha taught. It's what Jesus was talking about. It's what, you know, it's just about everybody who has gotten to the place of seeing how life works is talking about the same thing. You have to make the choice for the life that you want, and then you have to be able to receive that. And, of course, directing the attention is our secret ingredient.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. It is. Good news.
It is great. And I could talk to you for at least an hour about this, I'm sure.
However,
I have some announcements, and we have lots of wonderful folks here.
All right, good.
There is still time to sign up for the next quarter of Stop, Drop, Text, beginning July 14th.
Mm-hmm.
Send process messages to a trained facilitator and receive a reply.
Mm-hmm. So that's it for people who might be new to this whole notion. So I'm going along in life, and you happen to be my facilitator, although I don't know it, right? You actually don't know who I am, and I actually don't know who you are, a la our privileged environment that we're so fond of. But three times a day, I can, morning, day, evening, I can stop, look at what's going on with me, text that to a phone number that I have, and you out there somewhere will read my text, and you'll respond back to me via text.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and so it's a tremendous opportunity to bring that presence, that conscious awareness, and to be reminded to come out of our habitual relationship with conditioned mind and to be here and present to life at least three times a day. And it certainly can set up a habit of being present in that way a lot more during our day.
Yes, and it's really a gift to both participants. And it's a direct connection among Sangha and strengthens practice. And to me, it's a really beautiful thing.
Yeah. Got a lot going for it.
Yeah.
Okay, and people can sign up. What else have you got?
Sign up for the Your Practice Retreat and tailor your experience toward whatever is most exciting in your practice now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's July 23rd through 30th.
Mm-hmm.
And our next email class has a very subtle title, I've noticed, Exposing the Big Bamboozle is now open for registration. I just love that title.
Well, I was just, Ashwini and I were kind of brainstorming the classes that we'll be offering, and
right.
I was transcribing some of the notes from it, and I tell you, it's going to deliver. We are
good.
Going to go beyond the big bamboozle.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
So support yourself in seeing through the lies of conditioned mind, and that's August 1st through 26th.
Mm-hmm.
So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org for more information on these and all our events.
Great.
And a reminder to make guest show, that is to indicate your desire to talk with Sherry, press *6 and then 1, and that will put you in the queue. And if you can focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes, that is wonderful.
The ideal.
The ideal. And here we go, Sherry.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
My name is Diana, and I'm calling from Denver.
Well, hello, Diana. How are you?
I am good. I am a first-time caller.
All right. It's not so bad, is it?
Well, it's a little unnerving. I got to say the heart rate just went up a bit, but... glad to be through.
All right. Well, tell us what's going on.
Well, I'm still fairly new to practice. I was first exposed to your work about a year ago, and I went on retreat last fall. And since then, and this certainly isn't the only change that's happened in my life, but since then I've been experiencing I don't exactly know how to describe it, but a sort of disconnect or at least just huge change, which sort of makes sense, in the way I seem to relate to other people, feel around other people. I actually, did some reading up on dissociative issues because that's sort of what it felt like, but the more I've studied meditation and Buddhism and whatnot, I think it might just be sort of reacclimating to living life in a very different way and being aware of things I was never aware of. And but anyway, it's been unsettling enough at times that I've tried on a number of Tuesdays to to get through and see if you might have some words of wisdom or experience with other people going through something similar.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, good. I'm glad you got through tonight. And so can you give me just a little kind of typical vignette? Is around family or friends or colleagues or whatever, and what exactly do you experience as different?
Well, one thing that comes to mind for sure, and this, I don't know if this is quite the same issue I'm describing or a slightly different piece of it, but I came back from retreat with a bracelet that said authenticity, and that was kind of my mantra, was that I was going to, you know, drop the act that I'd been doing, and had sort of realized that I'd spent probably much, if not all, of my life trying to be what I thought I needed to be in every situation and for every relationship, and I was, you know, fired up and excited by the prospect of dropping all of that, and then started living life again and interacting with people, and found I didn't really know what that meant to be authentic. And so everything felt, you know, oh gosh, I'm at this new job and I'm having conversations with new coworkers and I'm deliberately saying things to be funny or to be charming or to come across as intelligent or, you know, whatever it was. And then I'm thinking, is that being inauthentic? Is that, you know, really me? And it's sort of been like that in all of my relationships. They look different. They feel different. I'm sort of hyper aware of how I'm interacting with people and seem to find that, you know, oh, this feels authentic other than, you know, when I was actually talking to somebody like-minded about spirituality or, you know, really significant things in our lives, that would feel, oh, yeah, that was a really good authentic interaction. But then, you know, the other 98% of life felt and still feels sort of off or whatever.
Okay. So I think you identified pretty clearly what the issue is. You are more aware than you used to be, right? So so we go along through life. We're operating out of karmic conditioning, and we're pretty unconscious, and so we're struggling with the things that our karmic conditioning says we ought to struggle with. We're in the grip of ego. It's calling the shots and controlling us, but it's just how life is. It's just me, and this is just life.
Right.
And then we get a big old dose of awareness, and suddenly there's that unnerving sense that, you know, I really don't know what's going on. I don't know who I am. I don't know who anybody else is. I don't know what's going on here, which is, when it's interpreted by karmic conditioning, is unsettling, right? Because we're supposed to know. At least you should know who you are, for God's sake, and you should be in control of how you are. And how you are, you should be authentic. And, of course, what you're running into, which is a fabulous thing to be running into, is being able to practice awareness. Just practice awareness. Now, of course, the thing that has always stopped us from paying attention and from being aware is that the system of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate that's been in control of our lives has no interest in us simply seeing what's going on, because it's not going to go well for that survival system as we see it, right? So it's going to now, instead of you, in this case, being allowed to just enjoy an expanded awareness, get to see things and realize, wow, that's interesting, or I never saw that before. I think that's, I wonder if, okay, we don't get to do that. Because everything gets filtered through the dualistic world of right and wrong, good and bad. Yeah? So in the world of conditioned mind, conditioned human beings, the dualistic world of opposites, the whole universe, all of life, is broken down into those categories. It's this way, it should be that way. You said that, you should have said that. He did that, that wasn't okay. It needed to be this. Okay? So the whole filtering, the lens through which we are trained to view life serves egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. And about the most difficult aspect of awareness practice is to learn to enjoy simply being aware. No conclusions, no assessments, no knowing. We're not learning anything. We're not getting better. We're not improving. We're just waking up and being aware of what is.
Yeah, it feels, it almost, and maybe this is just acclimation, but it feels too aware. You know, like I can't get away from that, and maybe that's not exactly awareness. Maybe I'm not using that or kind of identifying it correctly, but I'm kind of struggling with the balance of trying to be present and be in the moment and be aware with being in my head and doing that analysis or...
That's right.
It's hard to know where that line is. You know, I don't know how to the analysis.
Yeah, because that is the piece of it that has been controlling us all along. Now you're aware of it. Right? Now you're watching how everything is interpreted and labeled and compared and assessed and meaning is made out of it. And then how often, of course, it's used against you or against someone else. But that's the delusional world of conditioned mind. And as we practice more, we relax into just being, realizing there actually isn't anything to figure out. We're just breathing, just as we talk about in meditation. We're sitting, we're breathing, we're noticing, we're relaxing, we're present. And in that state, life, the intelligence that animates us, is guiding us, is directing us, is living us, and we're aware of that. So all of that racing around and bumping into things that happens in conditioned mind, over time, with practice, falls away. And the shift that will happen first is the one that you're in the middle of now, which is you're starting to watch it. Instead of being identified with it, looking out through its eyes and that lens at you and at the world, you're now stepped back, you're disidentified from it, and you're watching it.
That feels accurate. And it does, at the same time as it has felt very unsettling and challenging, it's also felt incredible and uplifting and empowering and, you know, all these wonderful things. It's just kind of back and forth and, you know, depending on the moment and the day and whatnot, it can feel very much one or the other.
Yes. And, of course, this is why I never miss an opportunity to do a commercial for recording and listening. Because that's the fast trip out of that dualistic back and forth criticizing, figuring out of conditioned mind. You know, you just listen to those recordings about what awareness is and what awareness practice is and what you're doing and how you're practicing just being here and breathing and looking around, hearing it. Yeah? You listen to that instead of the conditioned mind.
Yeah, the only thing I've tripped over there a little bit is that recording and listening has been so much fun and such a great tool for me, but that's kind of now the only place I feel authentic or, you know, I think that has played a role in making me look at my other relationships and go, well, I'm not being like that with that person I've been close with for decades, or I'm not being close to that with my parents, and you know, that contributed to some of the anxiety around it.
Yeah. So I will just encourage you, give it time.
Okay.
Because once again, conditioned mind wants to make a meaning, wants to bring fear into it if possible. Oh, well, what about, yeah, but you, but as you just stay with it and let the transformation take place, it'll, that world that you now find in recording and listening is the world that increasingly you will inhabit, and you will be that authentic presence, and you will be able to be that with your parents, with friends, with colleagues, with whomever.
Okay.
Yeah. Stay in touch, will you?
I will. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care. Good night.
All right. Good night.
Michael? Hello?
Hi there, Sherry. Sorry, I couldn't find myself in the list here. A lot of callers here.
I lost myself in the list.
Oh, my goodness, dear. Gracious. Three pages of folks here.
All right. Well, let's find out who they are.
Okay, let's get to the next one here. One second. Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Emily calling from Oakland.
Oh, hello, Emily.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you, and I am
good.
So happy to speak to you tonight.
Well, good. What's going on?
I had an insight this morning into a way that conditioning has been keeping me very, very stuck in a place of suffering. And it was one of those things that hit, and I grabbed for the recorder, and as I was starting to talk about it, I realized that the content that it had popped up around actually didn't matter, because when I looked at it, this happens everywhere. It does this in every realm of my life.
Just love insight?
I felt almost giddy.
Yes.
I really did.
Yes. Yeah. It's such a fast trip from a conditioned reality to being outside of it and seeing it for what it is. That it is. It can make a person giddy. It's slightly. It's not disorienting, but it's just such a. It's kind of like on one of those amusement park rides where suddenly everything just drops. And, you're in a whole new place.
Yeah, and so I am so glad for the recording and listening, because that way I can go back and re-listen to what I sounded like when it had just hit fresh.
Yes.
And be reminded.
Yes.
On the inside.
And it takes you right back to that place, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, right back to the experience. Can you tell us a little about it, or is it a little about
certainly.
The process? Oh, good.
No, certainly. Basically, there's an area in my life where there's a behavior that I want to change. It's something I've been doing for years. It doesn't serve me. It's not helpful, and I want to be not doing it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't managed to let go of it, and I've been trying to sort of muscle through it on my own. And this morning I thought, I think I need to get some assistance with this. I need, some assistance from somebody with a bit more experience. And voice came in and said, but how are you going to do that? Well, there's a discussion group that I belong to. I'll post a question there. I'll ask people for recommendations. I know people there have dealt with similar things. Oh, no, said the voice. You can't do that, because you've got big major issue that you need to deal with. And you've been meaning to post a question and ask for advice on that, and you haven't. And until you get that dealt with, you've got no business asking about this other thing. That's just not right.
Wow. I have to stop you right there, because an awful lot of people know exactly the place that you're describing, but to hear the way you're articulating it, I mean, isn't it astounding that we have voices in our heads that feel qualified, feel they have the right to talk to us in that judgmental, condescending way.
And it's only now with the experience that I have with practice, paying attention, that I'm actually really able to get, that's not me. That's not real.
Yeah.
That's not life knowledge. That's something else.
Right. Yeah, because we sense intuitively that life doesn't approach us with that level of contempt.
Yeah. And I recognize that what it's doing to me is saying, until you deal with the big bad thing, the biggest baddest thing in your life, you can't address anything else. You can't do any of the other things that might help you and support you. You have to do the big
thing.
Until you do, you're a failure.
Yes, and you can't even ask a question of people who might be able to assist. You can't do that. You're allowed to do nothing.
And except suffer and listen to it tell me how awful I am.
Yeah, and how many people spend a lifetime trapped in that, believing that that voice is true and real and that they must stay trapped in that way?
I've spent a lot of years there so far, and it was so wonderful just to have at least a moment of not believing it.
And how did the insight kind of frame itself? Because you said you realized that it wasn't that particular content, but that this is a process. Is that the seeing how it's controlling you about this one piece of content, but also this larger, big, bad thing, and then all of the other areas in your life where you're not allowed to do anything? What did it? You sort of see all of that at once?
It really did kind of. It was like a light turned on, and I could see a bigger picture. As though I had been looking at one part of a painting, and then I realized, wait, this theme is through the entire canvas.
Wow.
And it was beautiful, and it felt so supportive and caring to be able to tell myself into my recorder that I'm going to start doing some of the smaller things that I actually do know support me.
Mm-hmm.
And that I do know take care of me. And I'm not going to listen to conditioning beating me up about the ones that I haven't gotten to yet.
Yeah. So two things about that. One, the juxtaposition of that hateful, threatening, dismissive, nasty voice and the way it speaks to you. And then seeing, having that light bulb come on and seeing the kindness and compassion with which this information came to you, the support for you that's there, right? I mean, we don't have to ask that, is the universe friendly or does God love you? there's all the proof of that a person would ever need, right?
That's definitely what
there was another piece to that, but I can't. Oh, the other piece that you mentioned that is so important for all of us, that you record it right there when you're in the bliss of it, the excitement, the thrill of that level of clarity and the freedom that comes with it. And then every time you listen to it, it just takes you right back so that you not only do you not forget it, which conditioned mind is very eager for us to do, forget any of those kinds of moments in our lives, but you actually get to experience it over and over and over again. So you're practicing going to that place of clarity and freedom every time you listen to that recording.
And something that I've found with recordings about other issues is that as I listen to them again and again, different insights drop in.
Yes.
And then I can record those, and it all just plays together.
Yes, exactly so. Because you have that experience, the one that we're talking about right now, and it changed you. We know in an instant we're completely different. And then as you continue to be that new person, if we can say it that way, that new person is ready for all kinds of new experiences, new clarity, new insight. And those drop in, and you're changed again. And that person has new insights and is changed again. And we can just if we could see it, we would see a person, you know, with all scales of karma right all over us, and then they're just dropping away. They're just dropping away with each insight, and we're becoming clearer and clearer and clearer.
I'm so grateful for the practice because it feels like it used to, my life used to feel like a downward spiral, and now it feels like an upward one.
Yeah, yeah. I can hear it in your voice. It's lovely.
Thank you. Thank you so much,
thank
Sherry.
You.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks for letting us know all that. Good night.
Gassho.
Gassho.
Thanks for joining us, Emily. And yes, upward spirals are a great thing, aren't they, Sherry?
Oh, they certainly are. And Michael, I wanted to just remind everybody and remind you that I know that you are in the process of learning a rather complex process with this new platform. And so if you lose yourself in the queue, that can sound kind of funny, but if we could see what you're up against, we would see how easy it is to do that. And so, yeah, so just a great appreciation for all you're putting yourself through in order to make this much happier process available to all of us.
Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, just like practice, it's a skill. And if we're willing to show up and keep participating and keep self-hatred off to the side, we're, you know, the likelihood of success is very high.
Yes, yes. And it just gets easier and more fun as we go along, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
So let's take a break and hear from our coaches program, and then we'll be right back.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The practice theme for this year is upping your game. We are all spiritual athletes in the game of life, and we can train to participate joyfully in the spirit of play. Yes, we are up against a worthy opponent, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. But we can up our chances of success by getting a personal trainer, a Zen awareness coach. The awareness coaches are guided by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching around any number of life issues or awareness practice in general. Coaching places a special emphasis on recording and listening. We hear from folks new to practice and from old timers that awareness coaching provides the extra support their heart desires. Since coaches donate a percentage of their fees to practice, getting a coach assists us to support ourselves while supporting practice. To request a Zen Awareness Coach, visit sanghamarket.com, go to the services section, click on the little monk, and then follow the directions. We hope to hear from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers here, Sherry.
Okay.
Hi, this is Susan.
Hi, this is who?
Susan.
Hi, Susan.
I'm
How
usually
are you?
Last.
I'm good.
I'm usually last, so I'm shy.
Yeah, you're early this evening. That's very good. What's going on?
Oh, I'm just checking back in. I haven't called in since I was at the April Path Retreat, which was really wonderful. So I'm making contact, and I also wanted to put in a plug for the Stop, Drop, and Text program. I did that first round, and it was like having a secret Santa or something. You know? Like my new secret friend that you imagine your whole childhood all of a sudden shows up. It was really a way in that I've not experienced before, just to have. It was like having someone there in my thoughts all day. So
yes, yeah, yeah. Yeah, like many of the things in practice, it has a slightly magical feel to it. This whole relationship and sharing a really deep, intimate process, and have no idea what little thumbs are sending those messages back.
Exactly. I've done email classes, I've been to retreats, I've done lots of things, but that, for some reason, for me, was uniquely powerful and I don't know, supportive, reassuring, at any rate, so I just thought it was great. Mm-hmm. Really liked it.
You know, while we're talking about those kind of unusual things that are supportive in that way, the one that I've been hearing about, but we almost never talk about it, like on open air, is the virtual meditation groups. That's another one of those kinds of magical things where, you know, somebody's in wherever they live, and they don't have a meditation group nearby, but they can join a virtual group, and there you are, and you know that you're sitting with Sangha, and you're doing the recitations together, and yeah, it's that same kind of Secret Santa, Secret Santa. Yeah.
And I had done that, too. I tried to do at least one a week, and it's just, it's kind of like Michael said, you know, being in the queue, I'm just happy I'm in the queue. You know,
right.
I'm not alone. I'm,
yes,
I'm
yes, exactly.
To people somewhere. Otherwise, conditioning is, no, you're all alone, you're not connected, and just making that effort to sit, even if it's virtual, or text somebody I don't know out there in the ether, totally goes against that message. And it has an impact that isn't really up to words. I can't put words to it, but it does have an impact on me internally.
Yes, yes. Well, I think, to me, the difference between the two is that conditioned mind might be yammering away in any given moment, but those connections that we're describing speak to the, to use an earlier way of talking about it, an authenticity. It taps into that connection that we feel to life, that intimacy with all that is. And it's much more powerful than that yammering egocentric voice. So
yes, yeah, so
good to have a lot of those.
Yeah. So I, in terms of, you know, when I was at the retreat, what I was looking at and continue to is not hurting, relaxing, letting life live me, that whole process.
Mm-hmm.
And a really interesting thing can happen when I got back from the retreat. I had problems sleeping, insomnia in the last 6 months, so it's been really bad. I came back from the retreat, and I have been sleeping so much better. And, of course, my mind is trying to see, what did you do? Do more of this, do less of that. And it's really kind of unexplainable to myself, except some kind of feeling of, I don't know, some kind of security I didn't have before, and I don't know. It makes me sad to talk about it.
Because
the yammering and the chattering is still going on, but underneath there's this sense of, it's okay, you're okay, nothing that bad could happen, you know?
Yes, yes. Yeah, and again, just to look at those two processes side by side, I would say that the yammering is to keep a human being from experiencing that deep sense of belonging and security.
Yeah, and you wrote in a blog recently something about even the worst that could happen is not that bad in some ways. You know, it's still nothing that bad's going to happen that's beyond your ability to handle it, you know, to be adequate good, which is not the message, you know, that any of us hear any time. So that was the real gift, wherever and however that happened for me. After the retreat, and I've continued to look at how do I quit trying to control the universe and relax. And one day I had this brainstorm that I could actually let the mentor do my schedule.
Oh, now that is good. That is good.
And it seems like such a simple thing. And so I've been doing that, and even as I do the recording, listening, the mentor's voice goes, okay, so here's my words of encouragement. Do this, don't do that, that's too much, blah, blah, blah. And if you choose to go ahead and do everything that I said that's probably not the best idea, I will be there to support you. I will not beat you up. I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it's an experiment, which is, so it's just been looking at this whole thing as an experiment and less of a struggle and less of right or wrong. So I'm still on the road to relaxing into life.
Yes, and I, if I'm remembering this correctly, long ago and far away, you were looking at trusting life.
Yes. Oh, yes, that was where it started.
That's how this whole thing started. And then moving through that exploration and getting to the place of realizing that what you wanted to do was relax into life. And a la previous conversation, that person now with that focus, that person is here, right? I mean, you found the place to relax into. And then that sense of security and belonging and ease and that sort of thing. And then it's practicing doing that. And so then the insight drops in that you could have the mentor do your schedule for you, your calendar, because the mentor is really supportive of you relaxing into life. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
and
that,
whatever. Yeah.
Just that unfolding, that evolution that happens once we start practicing. And we get our attention focused on something, we begin to see how that shows up in bigger and bigger ways in our lives and how that transformation is actually happening.
Yeah, and I think that's what's surprising to me, because what I thought as you were talking is my mind wants to go, I'm in control of this transformation. I set a goal. I'm going to make it happen, versus it's like a birthing in some ways. I did start with trust, and then it moved to relaxation, and now it's changing into something else, and I see my job is just to be aware and stay with it. Versus
yes, breathe and smile. Breathe and smile and say thank you a lot. Yeah.
So I think that, and it is the logic that life does have a plan for me, and I'm in that plan. I don't think I've ever felt like anything good ever unfolded, only bad stuff unfolded.
Mm.
And, so... I'm checking in to say I'm still here. I'm in the queue,
good.
But I'm really appreciative of everything.
Yeah, good. It's great to hear your voice. Glad you're still going along.
Yeah, we'll see what emerges next.
Yes, exactly. That's the excitement, isn't it? Because when we're listening to the voices of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, not much changes.
No,
When we get with life, everything changes, and it's just the excitement of a roller coaster ride that we actually want to be on.
Yeah, and if you were to say to me, so what do you plan to do next, or, you know, the usual management by objectives, I'd say, I don't know. I'm going to hang in here and see what shows up.
Yeah, we'll see what life has.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's good to hear
all
your
right.
voice. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Good to hear from you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Susan. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Good.
I'm here.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
This is Beth.
Beth.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm a little slow on technology, and it took me a little while to figure out how to get into the new system and into the queue.
How to make Gusho.
Yes, and I am just highly surprised to be on, so I'm not really ready.
Oh, well, do you want to speak in your unreadiness, or?
That's where I'm at.
Okay,
so,
good. We'll just talk about whatever is going on in this moment. How about that?
Okay, so jitteriness. last 2 weeks ago, I met somebody, and we kind of had a discussion about our meditation practices.
Uh-huh.
And he said he had an experience of his mind actually stopping.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Sashin's meditation, my mind has never stopped. Disengaged from it, it's still going, and I'm, you know, just kind of watching it a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
But it's never stopped.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, it's always a little tricky to tell when people say things exactly what they mean. And it's easy for us to go to our own experience and then assume that we know what they're talking about, and it's different from what you're right there with me. So I bet you anything, everybody has had an experience of, in quotes, their mind stopping. One of my favorites is when you're going along and you trip.
Okay.
Yep. And in that process of falling, everything stops.
Yes.
Do you know that one? I mean, it
yes.
may be very fast, but it's the experience. And that's not unlike the experience of just, so you've probably been on retreat with me when I've done this to people, which is, okay, we'll just do it with you, but hopefully anybody listening will play along. Okay, I'm going to count to three, and when you hear the number three, I want you to have a brilliant thought. Okay? All right,
okay.
Here we go. One, two, three.
And my mind stops.
It did, didn't it? Yeah.
It did.
And you can feel the awareness there watching that usual condition just come to a stop. And the awareness is watching it, and then after a little time, it kicks back in again and takes off, and usually now it wants to talk about what just happened or how it didn't actually stop or whatever it is, and you can just watch that.
Right.
Yeah. So, go ahead, Fred.
No, go on.
Well, I mean, your mind stops. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, really, what is that bias?
Yeah, I'd really like to stop the thoughts. I've got this current story that I'm trying to figure out, and it's life and death.
Uh-huh.
And, well, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, waking up, there it is. And the thing is, it's never new thoughts. It's just telling the same story over and over again.
That's right.
There's
that's
no
right.
conclusion.
That's right. That's right. That isn't that good to see? Isn't that good? Because, you know, people will believe those stories for years, if not lifetimes, never realizing that it's just like a recording. Right? It's just saying the same thing over and over and over. It's not leading to anything. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. It is much easier to stop attending to that story than to get the story to stop.
Yeah. I've had that experience with most. It's not the size that matters.
You're fading in and out a little bit, Beth. Say that again.
I started working meditation like 12 years ago, and I'd have the experience daily of leaving my stuff behind. And I don't take my stuff to work, so I have like huge amounts of time every day where my story isn't there.
Don't own it, okay? It's the story.
The story. Ah.
Yeah. Be like if your neighbor's television is going, you don't want to say my television.
Okay, I get that. On one level, on the other hand, I could see just my attachment to the story.
Well, ego is very attached to its story. That's true. But I would suggest that what you're actually experiencing is an awareness of that story going on and an awareness of the person, we could say the ego, but the person who wants to have that story there and live in that story and the drama of it and the, oh, God, I don't want this, but there it is, and what am I doing? Okay? And you're aware of all of that.
Yeah. That's the attachment that I was just seeing.
It's attached. But you, on the other hand, are the awareness. And so you can be aware of that. But you can also turn your attention to something else and be aware of something else, which, again, here comes another commercial for recording and listening.
Mm.
A lot of people now are practicing keeping an earbud in at night.
Hmm.
So instead of wake up into a story like that, just there it is. You just push play, and so if there's a sense that it's going on all the time, and that's why you're waking up into it, then people are sleeping with the thing going all the time. So they're actually giving something for attention to be on rather than those stories that are happening even in sleep.
It is funny how, you know, just kind of like not practicing, I don't get anything. Like, if I just, like, let things be, then it just follows the same route.
Uh-huh.
Choosing, what you're saying is that I have a choice in engaging.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I don't have a choice going on.
You don't have a choice what?
I don't have a choice for it to go on.
Right. If I understood you correctly, that system is going to keep on doing what that system does. The only thing we have in terms of choice is not to attend to it.
Which is why I got in line tonight.
Which is?
It's why I got in line tonight.
Uh-huh.
Just saying, there it is. You're in humble system. I really do want the thoughts to stop. I really do want a different experience.
Yeah, and so they're not going to stop.
No.
They're not going to stop. They're just going to cruise right along there, but they can be cruising along parallel to your life, not smack in the middle of it. Now, you know, did you, I was going to refer to a movie, but I'm not going to.
Okay.
So if you turn your attention back to that story, it'll be there.
Yes.
That's why we train ourselves to put our attention where we choose to have our attention. Yeah? So, you know, one of the things, Beth, that you can do is listen to archives of these radio shows. It doesn't actually matter what you're listening to. These conversations on this show are practice conversations that tend to bring us to center. They tend to disidentify us. So, you know, you can just put that on, put the earbud in, and you fall asleep. When you wake up, it's still going on, and you turn your attention to whatever is there, and it's a practice conversation. It's a let's all come to center and be present conversation. And so you fall back to sleep again. And there's just what you do is close the door on that conversation. It's still there, but it doesn't get to come in and take over your world.
It doesn't get to come in and take over my world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because your attention is yours. It's for you. You get to turn your attention to what you choose. But we have to avail ourselves of that ability and that choice.
I forget who said it, but people exchange God for the emotions of a buzzing fly.
Say that again.
People give up kind of God because they're buzzing of a fly.
Yes, yes, exactly, yes. So if we allow our attention to go to conditioned mind, it will constantly have something there that we're going to attend to instead of, in quotes, God.
Yes.
And we don't want to do that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And we don't want to get into a relationship of resisting it.
Okay, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. So it's like, sitting around planning how to get the best of a bully. we just turn around and walk off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Well, you let me know how it goes, okay?
Thank you, Sherry.
You are very welcome. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. You're listening to Open Air. There's about 5 minutes to the hour. Sherry, would you like to take another caller?
Absolutely.
Okay, wonderful. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Amy in Mountain View.
Hello, Amy.
Hi.
How's it going?
I'm doing, and I made a commitment at the retreat I was at recently to call into the radio show. So here
are
I am.
Are you a first-time caller?
I'm not a first-time caller, but it's been a number of years.
Almost a first-time caller.
It feels like a first-time.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, congratulations. And I think there was a, was it the peace quote today about keeping our word to ourselves? Anyway, it was a good one. I think it was today or yesterday. And so congratulations on making that commitment and coming through for yourself.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad I made it on. The whole show, and actually the first caller sort of touched upon the themes of what I'm looking at, as far as looking at.
It must be me. I was having a hard time hearing Beth, and now I'm having a hard time hearing you. So I was right with you to the first caller, and then you went away for me.
Okay, I'll try again.
Okay, good.
The themes of what I'm looking at are the and being with people and relationship and communication.
Uh-huh.
And so that first conversation was very helpful.
Gone. Michael, excuse me just a moment. Michael, is Amy strobing for you?
Yes.
Okay. Darn.
Okay. I'm not sure I can do anything to improve it.
Well, it's really interesting. It's like I heard that just perfectly. And then
okay.
You start to talk about the subject matter is, and you go underwater. So I think what you said was the first caller looking at, and I think that was the issue was authenticity, right? And being in various relationships and how one is in the various relationships. Was that
yes.
the idea?
Yes.
That, and that's
yes.
what you're working with currently.
And that's what I'm working with currently. And at the retreat, I had made a commitment to practice with speaking one authentic thing every day, and the sort of idea behind that was to practice a behavior change when I'm in a tendency of not speaking up,
uh-huh.
And it's been it's been a great practice in that I'm seeing a lot and I'm recording and listening a lot. And
mm-hmm.
And I've seen it's not that practice in itself is not always necessarily what it feels is always called for. Like sometimes it feels like the practice might be to practice restraint. but on how I'm communicating and recording and listening about it just has just been super helpful.
Uh-huh. And so other people are kind of, it's true all the time. We're all bit players in your life, right? So,
yes.
So if we, you know, we come onto the stage and there's an exchange and it's helpful, well then, you know, if we all realize that we are that for one another, then there's, you know, no harm done. And
mm-hmm.
So we're all practicing on each other all the time. And if we keep in mind that we're doing this to wake up and end suffering, then no hard feelings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you don't necessarily say things to people that they don't want to hear, right? It's just whatever is going on with you.
Right. It was more of I wanted to practice breaking out of the habit of not saying anything.
Yeah.
Or not speaking up, or just the tendency to withdraw and not speak up.
Yeah. Withdraw, not speak up, and get beaten up later.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's usually the cycle.
And so it has been interesting because I've seen in setting that intention that those cases don't necessarily happen every day, or they're not really planned for, but just the fact that I'm looking at communication and then recording and listening about it feels like I'm just seeing more and more, and really it feels like where the authentic conversation is taking place is really with the recorder.
Yes, with you.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So there are a couple of things about it. One is the specific content, because you know, if there's something that we're doing or not doing and it results in suffering in our lives, then we want to address that. We want to bring conscious, compassionate awareness to whatever that is. And then the other thing that you're saying that to me is really important for all of us is you make a commitment and you do it. And you see what happens. That's the transformative process right there, right? So whatever it is. So I'm going to do this thing, and I'm going to do it every day. And I'm going to watch everything that happens around that, and I'm going to record about it, and I'm going to listen. And we can just sense the transformation happening, the change happening in the person, and that change is being charted, right? So we can't get talked into, well, nothing's really happening, and you know, you're not that different from the way, because we're keeping track of it. It's unmistakable. It's undeniable. The voices lose their ability to tell us who we are, because we have all of this proof from the experimentations and the practices that we've done.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so...
And it's fun, too, isn't it?
It is. and it feels like... it started out sort of looking at sort of how I am with other people, and that's still sort of the focus, but it's more how I am with myself.
Yes.
That's where it feels like the real work is being done.
Yeah, and the fun part of it to me, the part that I think is fun about it, is being in that relationship with you, in that relationship of discovery, of practicing awareness and being more excited about the awarenesses than about ideas that we might have had in the past, that at the end of this we'll finally be closer to being the person we should be than we were at the beginning. We just get into the discovery and the excitement of the experiments and what I'm seeing today and how that compares with what I saw yesterday or last week. And then there's that awareness about that, and I thought, it's fun.
Yes. Yeah, and it does feel like the focus is more on the discovery and the experimentation than on trying to fix something or get to some certain result.
Yeah, fixing something is so tedious. That takes the fun out of anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being result-focused, and because one is coming from egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. That's what wants to figure things out and get the result so you can finally be the right person. There's no enjoyment in that whatsoever. The other comes from life. life unfolding moment by moment by moment, and the exploration of that, being present to that, participating in that, that's thrilling. Because when we get the hang of that, that's how we live. You know, it's not just something I do with this one piece of content in my life. It's changing the whole way I am in life, because now I'm living from conscious compassion and awareness and not from some program about how I should be. It's like life and death. Is living from egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is dead. Whether the person thinks they're alive or not, they're not alive. But when we start living from life, from awareness, from conscious compassion and awareness, then we come alive, we come awake in ways that we haven't even been able to imagine. Yeah?
Yes. I'm very glad I got on, so thank you for this.
I'm very glad too. Great to hear you. And for whatever, in whatever magical way, your phone started cooperating. So,
oh, good.
You can thank the phone too. Okay. Good night, Amy. Bye bye.
Thanks for
Thank you,
me.
Michael.
Thank you. This has been so helpful to me. I'm so grateful.
Oh, God, me too. Let's do it again next week.
Okay. We'll talk to you then.
All right. The deal. All right. Thanks,
Sherry.
Michael. Bye-bye.
Good night.